You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is your host, Brian Kilby. A little late, we've missed a week, and a lot of stuff has happened. We've had a new Transformers cartoon, Transformers Cybertron. Transformers Cybertron is the third cartoon in the series of Transformers Armada and Transformers Energon. So this is the first time we've had three series tied together in such a way in America, and it's been pretty cool, even though the series itself kind of sucks. A few other things have happened since last week. BotCon's been held
in Texas, Kentucky, Rhode Island, Ohio, and California.
We've had a Transformers movie, which is kind of cool that, never really thought that would happen, but, you know, we've had a Transformers movie, and we've had a Transformers sequel since last week because, well, the first Transformers movie made tons and tons of money. And also, we've had another cartoon. It's amazing. Transformers Animated. Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of a funny name, I know, but I think if we give it a shot, it'll prove to be pretty good. Also, what else have we had? We've had basically a full-scale G1 revival in this subline called Transformers Classics, and it's been followed up in the Transformers Universe line, which is personally a favorite of mine, you know, has been for the last couple of years since it started. We've also, in the fandom, you know, we've had a whole slew, and a slew is a very southern word, I know, but I am southern, a slew of Transformers internet radio shows. They're calling themselves podcasts, I don't know why, but we welcome our Transformers internet radio show brethren. Let's see here. There have been lots of fans that have come in since last week because of the success of Transformers Cybertron and, of course, Transformers the movie. Not to be confused with our favorite 1986 Transformers movie and its new sequel in Transformers Animated. But lots of new fans, lots of new stuff going on here at Radio Free Cybertron. We're glad to be back. It's been a long week, but we are here for you. Today on RFC, he's no longer Goldie. He's since changed his name to XV. XV has a review of Ransack. I am going to review the new Transformers movie sequel, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And our buddy Rob Springer, check out the blog, B-L-O-G, that's the new word, blog, on tfradio.net for a link to a news article from Atlanta where our very own HooperX, Robbo Rob, and our buddy Chris Templeman were featured because of the hype for the new Transformers sequel. So check that out at tfradio.net. But our very own Robbo Rob, I hate Michael McDonald, and it's a long-standing hate. It goes back way before that movie, 40-Year-Old Virgin. But I don't hate him personally, but I just hate his music because it's crap. So Robbo Rob sort of has a little parody to end the show in today. So let's start things off today with XV's review of this Ransack toy.
This is XV bringing you the It Figures toy review of Ransack from Revenge of the Fallen. Though I think the particular styling works very well on the big screen, I've never really been a fan of the movie designs in toys. But while I didn't buy anything designed for the first movie, a number of things are pretty appealing looking for the sequel's toys. There's two reasons for this, first being that the style is on the more moderate side compared to the first movie. The second, and what's really important, is the interesting vehicle modes. Ransack is based on the World War I German Albatross D-3, though with a number of modifications. The D-3 is the aircraft in which noted German ace Manfred von Richthofen earned his name and reputation as the Red Baron and scored 22 victories before moving to his more famous Fokker DR-1 triplane. Besides this, since planes still tended to be made of lumber at this time, it's fully possible Ransack is the first documented plywood transformer. Packaged in robot mode, Ransack is given an appearance fitting of the age of his vehicle mode. While the slim, angular robot mode gives the suggestion already, the arms really drive home the notion that Ransack is supposed to look not just old, but dead. The arms are decidedly skeletal, mimicking the appearance of the bones in a human arm. Even the hands have a somewhat bony look, and the head, underneath the engine block hat, is vaguely skull-like, though it can be a bit hard to make out. The arms have ransacked non-removable weapons. On the right is a pair of machine guns with ammo drums. But with no swivel in the arms, you can't really pose the machine guns in what would seem like a natural way. The left arm has a pair of small bombs. I suppose Ransack could be expected to toss them like grenades? Pieces of the fuselage stick out from the thighs to evoke the riding breeches pilots from the time are often depicted wearing. The wings form a sort of cape, which I'm not sure was a typical bit of pilot gear, but I guess they had to go someplace, right? At 4 1/4 inches tall, Ransack is on the lean side in robot mode. Ransack has fair posability. The arms are great because the skeletal construction allows lots of room, especially for the elbow swivels to move. Only the forearm-mounted weaponry stops them being able to do a full spin. The head, while on a double neck joint, is forced to be hunched forward. But the real trouble I have is the legs. The hips are very close together to allow them to come together to form the plane's fuselage, but the flip side of that move is that it's hard to give the legs their own space. In the process of trying to arrange the legs, you will probably also end up knocking the transformation hinge at the waist out of place, and or popping the lower body off the toy altogether, as the waist joint is only held together by friction. While the knees enjoy a similar benefit as the arms, matters are complicated by the feet and ankles. The feet are part of the tail planes, and both are articulated differently. The figure's left ankle is double-jointed, with one hinge going forward to back and one side to side. The right ankle is a double-joint combination of a swivel and a front-to-back hinge. The large edge of the right foot allows you to spread the figure's stance without a total loss of balance, but it would be much better if both ankles had side-to-side joints, and it really just confuses me as to why they had to be different in the first place. Transformation is mostly intuitive, but a couple small pieces will not immediately feel like they should move the way they have to. In truth, though, the transformation back to robot mode is much worse. Since the parts fit is not the greatest, many things may pop off in your hands as you try to move them from one mode to the other. In vehicle mode, Ransack has a wingspan of just over 5 inches, making him roughly 1/69th scale. The fuselage is mainly a dark red, with some gold and bright red decoration along either side. The nose is painted gold, and the tail dark gray, with bright red trailing edges and a gold highlight. By far the most prominent colors are the beige and tan used on the wings. The lighter base plastic color is accented with darker tan paint applications, which also help to set off the molded ribbing. Though both upper and lower sets of wings have this molded detail, only the upper wings have the paintwork. Toward either end of the wing is a movie-style Decepticon symbol, accented with markings inspired by those used by German fighter squadrons. The only intentionally moving part in this mode is the propeller, which can spin freely. The tailplanes can move, but do not do so in a realistic way. While details are changed from the real D3, the only place this is a significant factor is under the wings, where there are both weapons placed incorrectly on the aircraft, as in machine guns that would shred the wings off the plane the first time they're fired, and robot arms that become very obvious from below. But to set that aside, I find the vehicle mode to be well executed. Overall, I find Ransack to be a very good toy, although that's mostly for the unusual vehicle mode that has been done very well. On the other hand, the robot mode does leave a bit to be desired. Be sure to check out It Figures at figurereviews.com for more in-depth toy reviews and some of the best toy photography online. Why? Because It Figures.
And thanks there, Goldie. Oh, XV. So this week we were treated to Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. It's the sequel to Transformers, which was the, of course, blockbuster film by Michael Bay. I went in with mixed feelings. One, I really thought that I was going to hate it because, as you see, it's a Michael Bay film. And, of course, all of the reviews so far have been overwhelmingly negative. If you look at Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, you'll see that the reviews have been overwhelmingly negative, and pretty much everyone's saying it's abysmal. You know, I was reading Rotten Tomatoes today, and I was reading the comments by the fans who were commenting on the reviews, specifically the review by Rolling Stone, and I have to say, lighten up, people. It's a movie. A bad review is not going to change its value or your value as a person. So, if someone doesn't like it, which I'm one of those people, Lighten up. Who cares? It's a movie. Really, it's a movie. But overall, I mean, I didn't hate it, but I certainly didn't like it. The pros for me, and this is going to remain as spoiler-free as possible. The pros for me, it's fun for about half an hour. Then it gets boring. Very, very boring. But the first few minutes are very fun. Without venturing too far into spoiler territory, the Autobots team up with the humans, and they create this task force, which goes out and hunts Decepticons. That's fun. That's cool. That's, you know, sort of shades of Transformers Generation 1 Season 3. I kind of dig that. Also, Sam's parents. Sam's parents were probably the funniest part, besides Bernie Mac, of Transformers 1. And they are, again, fun in the sequel. Starscream. In this movie, Starscream is a character, basically. I mean, he doesn't get that many speaking parts, but the parts that he does get are great. And I also enjoy the banter back and forth between Megatron and Starscream. Jetfire. So, for my purposes, I'm going to say that Jetfire and Skyfire are the same thing, because they kind of are. So, no longer is Jetfire this boring blank slate, this non-entity. Jetfire is actually a character, and it's kind of cool. Jetfire actually also plays into the backstory. There was no backstory in Transformers 1. As far as we were concerned, the Transformers universe was this large antibacterial mat. Nothing could grow. There was nothing there. It was boring. I really didn't care about the characters in Transformers 1 because there was no hook. There was no story. Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen actually builds a story, a backstory for the Transformers. Is it as rich as, say, what we got in Transformers Generation 1? No. Of course, Transformers were bukus of episodes to build on. You know, of course you had to fill in the blanks because, well, the original cartoon was often dumb. But it was also often inspired. And when we got to view the Transformers history, the, you know, golden age of Cybertron, that was some good stuff. And the movie completely lacked that. So we actually got the starts of something good in Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. And really, that was about it. There wasn't much else that I cared for in the movie. For me, there's plenty of negatives. Again, without venturing too far into spoiler territory, robot tongue. I did not care for that. Did not care for any of that. And I would have rather not seen that. Soundwave. Yeah, I really liked the way that Soundwave was used as this sort of intelligence officer, which, you know, he kind of sort of is. But the Soundwave design is so terrible. I mean, what in the heck is he? He's a satellite. Or he's an antenna or something. I don't know. I really don't care. The fact that they didn't quite get the voice. I mean, I love the fact that it's Frank Welker. I'm all for using the original voice actors when at all possible. And they got, for those of you who are not aware, they got the voice perfect. The Soundwave voice is, of course, the Dr. Claw voice. The Dr. Claw voice ran through a vocoder. And there was no... Actually, that's not true. One or two of the scenes very lightly vocoded the voice, but it was not enough to actually let you hear more than a hint the fact that it was Soundwave's voice.
So if you heard it, you probably thought that Soundwave had a cold.
So, I really didn't so much care for that. The movie was poorly paced. I was bored after 30 minutes, and it was one climax after the other. Oh my goodness. There was no payoff. Who really cares? The Fallen was a terrible villain. I said it. The Fallen was a terrible villain. I liked the fact that there was a backstory attached, but I really didn't care. There was no hook whatsoever. whatsoever. I still don't like the movie designs. I understand why we have them, and I understand the point that they are semi-realistic, or they are as realistic as possible given the fact that they are giant robots. Doesn't mean that I like them. Their admitted designs, of course, would not work in a Transformers movie. I mean, I'm actually laughing at it because, you know, a bunch of walking shoeboxes running around shooting at each other. Yeah, I really don't think people would pay to see that, but I do like them better than the movie designs. I didn't care for Wheelie. Like the design of the toy, like the design of the character. I just don't like the execution. If you saw the movie, you know why. There's too much swearing. You know, I don't have a problem with swearing. I really don't. Swearing is a great thing, and it's useful. But to me, I just thought it was a little heavy. I thought the movie tried to be a little too mature for its own good. You know, Transformers is all about the kids. You know, I'm 30 years old now. I understand that. But, you know, my little 7-year-old cousin really shouldn't be hearing all of that stuff. And, of course, it's the parents' decision to, whether you know, show the movie to the kid, but we're really trying to sell toys here, so. Did I say it was anticlimactic? Got to the end, and I'm like, is that it? Really? That's the ending? And we get that same speech over again? Sorry, just, it doesn't cut it for me. The Autobots are completely without mercy. Again, you know, it's a take on the Autobots that we haven't had before, at least not in, like, widespread fiction. But the Autobots are kind of bloodthirsty. You know, when most of you who are listening were kids, you know, the same time that I was in the 80s, the Autobots were pretty much the good guys. They wore the white hats. We didn't see them kill. You know, at the end of the episode, step back to status quo. Nobody was killed. Nobody was hurt. And this, the Autobots, they like killing, and they're good at it. They're actually much better at it than their Decepticon counterparts. My only problem with that, trying to sell toys. Had some mixed emotions on a couple of things. People are complaining about Mudflap and Skid saying that they are, I don't know, racist. I heard some people, or I actually read where some people said that they are supposed to be rednecks and not ethnic. Don't believe that's true. They seem pretty ethnic to me. Did they detract from the movie for me? Well, there wasn't a lot to detract from, so it kind of added a little bit to the movie for me. But I laughed at a couple of things, specifically at the beginning, which took place in China. But they really didn't grate on my nerves. People are comparing them to Jar Jar Binks, but let's be honest, Transformers is no Star Wars. So while Jar Jar Binks you may have considered, you know, like pissing on a Picasso, you know, Transformers is no Picasso. It's barely a mash. So overall, the movie, I'm giving it 1 star out of 4. Wasn't that great? Could have been worse. I mean, it could have been, you know, Ravage Three Bodies Evolution.
Are you indecisive? Just can't tell whether that toy is worth buying? Then you should try It Figures. It Figures uses a secret formula of in-depth toy reviews and high-quality photography to make sure your decision is an informed one. That's It Figures at figurereviews.com. Try it today!
I completely failed to mention my favorite part of Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. Okay, so when we got there, the movie had completely sold out. In fact, before I got to the front of the line, this kid was told that, unfortunately, the movie had sold out, and only the 11 o'clock showing was available. Kind of felt bad about that, but luckily I had ordered my tickets through Fandango so that I could get that download, which was not the version of the Touch with Rap. I was hoping it was the version of the Touch with Rap because that was awesome. But no, it's some other crappy song that I have no idea what it is, so I don't care. But when we got in there, it was packed, totally packed. We had to sit in the second row. Big movie theater in Hickory, North Carolina. Digital screen, beautiful. It was digital, but we were right up on it, so my entire field of vision was Transformers, the constant climax. It was like a bad porno. Climax, climax, climax. So I was completely overwhelmed by the movie. But the cool thing is, there was this dude, like four people to our left, completely into every single thing Optimus Prime did. It's like he was the biggest Optimus Prime fanboy in the whole world. He's like, yes, look at that. Oh, my God. Huh. And then, of course, whenever Megan Fox popped up, similar reaction. Also, there's this huge dude. I mean, like, bigger than me when I was at my biggest. Huge dude. Cute girlfriend. That was kind of strange. Must have been a drug dealer. But watching the people and the reaction, that was my actual favorite part of the movie. And at the end, everyone applauded. Everyone. I don't get it. I actually yelled something that I wish I could take back. But if you ever go to see a movie with me, I am very vocal whether I love the movie or hate it. So, yeah, my favorite part of the movie was not actually anything in the movie. It was the reaction of the crowd. That pretty much does it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. Sorry we missed that week. I'm glad that we were able to catch up on everything. We'll be back next week with potentially a new format, some new voices. It was good having XV on this RFC. We're going to end things out, though, with our buddy Robbo Rob. If you actually check out tfradio.net, you'll see an article from an Atlanta area newspaper that features our very own HooperX, Robbo Rob, and our pal Chris Templeman. So check out tfradio.net. That's if you're checking us out through iTunes. You can also follow me, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but you can follow me on Twitter. It's at bkilby. I've never actually said that out loud. Follow me at @bkilby. Or you can join the RFC fan page on Facebook. There's a link right there on tfradio.net. Facebook's this great new website where you can, like, meet up with people and hook up and stuff like that. It's great. So tfradio.net. You can go to iTunes, look for Radio Free Cybertron, subscribe. The tfradio.net has every single RFC but one, every single RFC that we ever did. So go there, check it out, tfradio.net. Brian Kilby finishing off RFC this week is our buddy Robbo Rob, and he is singing the Transformers the movie theme. If he were Michael McDonald. See you guys next week.
Oh. Transformers! Yeah. Transformers! Something is watching over you. It's coming from the sky above. I'm eating rivers in the nude. If it is strike, there'll be no place to run. With the carpet in the grip of the evil unicorn. Transformers! All committed running wild. So we have to pull together. No, we can't stay worlds apart. Standing on it, let the body be surely fall. Until the darkest hour, when your mind will save us all. Nerds, Transformers, for your peace be gone. I'm gonna- goodness on a keyboard. I'm 2008. You're 2008. Come with me now. It's just a day now with me to stand. Everybody powers the darkness. I was once a man. The path is over, but what has just begun? And this way will remain till the day we all arrive. Check. Need to buy myself some corn liquor and a Snickers bar. I'm hungry. Haven't eaten in days.